The title of today's message is The Lord Picked a Fight. The Lord Picked a Fight. In high school, there was always a bunch of fights in my school. There's always somebody who's picking the fight. In the school I grew up in, there was a fight. I feel like every single week there was a fight. And what would always happen is one person would get like nose to nose to the other person. There's a split second where you think they're going to kiss. There's a split second. They're yelling. And if they take too long to throw, they take too long. One of us walks up behind one of them and pushes them into the other one. And then all of a sudden it's like, it's gone after that. They fight different nowadays. I saw this guy. He was like, I can't remember. He was like, man, when I was growing up, you know, you just kind of throw hands. He goes, now when these people practice and fight and they're like kicking against a bamboo tree and they got cauliflower hanging out of their head. And he goes, you don't mess with people like that anymore. But there's always somebody who picks the fight. Ladies typically don't throw hands, but they say something. And it's just like a little, you know, grenade, and then all of it, and somebody starting it, right? This passage of scripture is so fascinating because the Lord is stepping out of heaven in a physical body and picks a fight, a real one, a real fight. And so let me kind of unpack it. This is in Genesis chapter 32. I'm going to start quoting the passage in verse 24. It reads like this. And then Jacob, he separated himself and a man, capital M, meaning the Lord. A man wrestled with him. Until daybreak. They wrestled all night long until the sun came up. And then he, capital H, says he realizes that he could not prevail against him. They're wrestling. The Lord realized, I can't prevail against him. I can't win. Isn't this crazy? In John 10:30, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. We're talking about God. Jesus and God, they're one. I don't have time to chase that down. God is coming down and wrestling a man, and he's saying, I cannot prevail. And so he touches, he's been fighting him as a man, and now he's going to fight him as God. He touches his hip. Bink. And his hip pops out of socket. And then the Bible says that the Lord, it says this, he says, he, capital H, let go of me. For daybreak is coming. The Lord says that. And so Jacob says, I'm not gonna let go of you until you bless me. And the Lord says back to him, I'm changing your name from Jacob to Israel because you have wrestled with men, people that are just provoking you. Ladies, people who are just provoking you. You have wrestled with men. And you have wrestled with God. And the Bible says that he blessed them right there. I have three major points for you. The first one is that the Lord wrestled with Jacob. The second one is how Jacob became weak. His hip, popped out of socket. He became weak. And then the third one is that Jacob wrestled with the Lord. And so when the Bible says that he wrestled, a man, capital M, came and wrestled with Jacob, the person who provokes the fight is the one who wants something. So what does the Lord want from Jacob? See, Jacob was a rebellious young man. He was rebellious. He was a thief. But he also believed in God. When he was out there that night and he separated himself, he was looking to the heavens asking for help. And the man, the Son of God, comes out of heaven and says, you and I are about to get into it. We're going to wrestle. And the reason why he was saying it is Jesus came and he said, Jesus shows up to Jacob, says, I am not the champion of your life. I don't own your thoughts. I don't own your life. I don't own the way you speak. You don't love what I love and you don't hate what I hate. I'm not the champion of your life. And let me say this. If you haven't given your entire life to the Lord, you're not submitted to Him. If you back up and you say, I've submitted every area of my life except for one, you are not submitted to Him. What you do in secret determines whether or not He is the champion of your life. If you only agree with Him and serve Him in the areas that you already want to do, that is not submission. Submission is when God wants you to do something that you don't want to do, but you do what He wants you to do. That's when He's the champion of your life. Would you put your hands together for that? That's when He's the champion. I had a friend in high school. His name was Andrew, and he was the epitome of cool. And he had hair like straw. And he had that kind of hair, blonde hair hanging down that they could go like this. And blow on. Now, me, when I did have hair, it didn't grow down. It grew out. The curls went out. I'm half Brazilian, half Italian. It grew out. And so these curls, you had to put like dippity-doo and mousse. Do they still have mousse? Do you mind? And you rub it and you stick it in your hair and you pop it back and forth and then you get hair net and you're like, they still have hair net? Aquanet. And you got to actually step out of the cloud. You can see it. And you could crack your hair. Like you can pinch it and crack it. You know what I'm talking about? And so that was my hair. His hair, straw like Brad Pitt. And one time he took it and he was raising it up in the bathroom at school and it was just dropping real nice. And he looks at me and goes, you wish you had my hair, don't you? Well, he showed up to church a couple years ago and he found me in the lobby and I didn't recognize him. Because he was bald. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's what you get. That's what you get. Bald. And he's like, hey, let's go. Let's go out to lunch. We go out to lunch. And he goes, man, I was listening to you preach. And he goes, I can just tell you believe every single word you're saying. You're passionate about this. He goes, that's where I want to be. But he had the most filthy mouth ever. That didn't change all the way from high school. But now he's like passionate about God. That's the only thing that's different. And he's got this filthy mouth. And I want to say, bro, like stop with the filth. But I didn't want to talk about his speech because the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so it's not the speech that's the problem. It's what's in here is the problem. And so I told him, I said, look, you got to start really devoting a part of your day to pray. You got to get your cell phone. You need to put a countdown clock. Go in there and pray. Don't come out until that countdown clock buzzes. So I kept saying that over and over. You got to pray. You got to do the countdown clock. You got to pray. You got to do the count. And he goes, I got it. He goes, but what else do I do? You said that like five times. What else do I do? And I was like, that's really it. This guy was the epitome of cool. The guy could dance like MC Hammer. Some of you have no idea who MC Hammer. Let me show you a little clip of MC Hammer. But yeah.
Break it down.
Clap your hands if you grew up on MC Hammer. Can you imagine a white kid with straw hair? Can you imagine? Dude, what's that? If you weren't here, I could do it. Can you imagine? And he's like, I want God, but and now here's the trouble. Here's what's going on. God is wrestling with him. He wants something from God. But God is not the champion. God is wrestling with him. He's saying, I want more. But he's like, I'm the champion of my own. I make the decisions on how I live in my private life. I make the decisions. Jacob, chin up, eyes up, he believed in God. He wasn't, I'm gonna keep on making decisions. Jesus says this, okay, enough of this. We're gonna wrestle now. And so the Bible says that the Lord could not prevail. He wasn't winning. It's when the person, the Lord, keeps on saying, hey, look, you want more of me. You want me to be in your life to fix these problems. But I can't win with you because you won't give. They're saying you're not going to stop because you think God loves me. It's going to be okay. He's not. I can get away with this. Okay, look. Here's what I've learned. What you do in secret eventually catches up to you. This is what I'm saying. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. 6, verse 5. 6, verse 6. It says, when you pray, go alone by yourself, shut the door behind you, pray to your Father in secret. Your Father who sees everything in secret, he sees everything. He will reward you. See, what you do in secret ends up catching up to you. You prayed in secret, that blessing catches up to you. However, if what you're doing in secret is sinful, that will catch up to you. And then when you come before the Lord and you're saying, Lord, I need you to be the champion of my life and deliver me. He says back, no, you are the champion of your life. You're the one who makes the decisions on how you live. So if you're the champion of your life, you go ahead and fight your battle since you know you fight the battle. And so the Lord says this, and this is point number two. He touches his hip. Boom! Bang! Hip gets knocked out of socket. Now he's weak. Now he's weak. He's realized his weakness. There's a moment that we all face where we back up and go, I'm in trouble now. I'm in trouble. I have been making my own decisions, my own private decisions, living how I want to live. But now, I just got hit. And now I realize how weak I am. Listen, it's caught up to me. And so now he can't move. I remember going through high school, and there's something called, I think Malcolm Gladwell wrote about this. I think it was the tipping point or something like that. But he says this, he goes, many people grow up with the curse of charisma. The curse of charisma is when you are the man in high school, right? Like you're the cheerleader or you're the high school quarterback. You're the person in the class that everybody listens to. It's the curse of charisma. People want to be around you. And so everything comes easy in high school because you're that girl or you're that guy. It's the curse of charisma. It appears to be the blessing. But then as soon as you graduate, all of a sudden, none of that matters. And you've been riding on charisma your whole life. But then when you throw the cap, it's like, what can you do? What do you know? This was this was a jolt to Mr. Frankie Mazapika. I can't do anything. I had a study buddy in college. As I'm struggling in college, we're sitting across the table. He's studying, I'm studying. He gets it. Boom, he's got it. I don't got it. So he's ready to go eat lunch. I have no idea what I'm looking at. And then I found out that I feel comfortable speaking. I feel comfortable preaching. It's easy for me. I was like, oh, thank God. I found something I'm strong at. I'm feeling good at it. Thank God. And then a guy who I admire so much, I swear, he could walk on water. Awesome preacher. He looks at me and he says, I don't think you're called to do this, buddy. Boom! Boom! I'm weaker than I've ever been in my life. And I back up and I'm like, God, it's the only thing I feel like I could do. And if you don't help me, then I'm done. And I felt the Lord come back to me and said, I will help you. I will help you. But Frankie, I got to be the champion in every area of your life. When you don't want to forgive somebody, I got to be the champion in that moment. When you want to be mad and bitter, I got to be the champion in that moment. When you don't want to worship me, I got to be the champion in that moment. Can you worship me when things are not going good? Anybody can worship me when things are going good. Can I be the champion in that moment? In that moment of temptation, can I be the champion in that moment? If I can be the champion in every single area of your life, don't worry about your weaknesses, because in your weakness, I will make you very strong and very effective. Has anyone ever been in that season of your life where the Lord is telling you that? Just let me be the champion and I got you. And I tell you what, ever since, that was probably the best day that I ever had in my life. Has anyone ever hurt you and you look back and you're like, thank you for hurting me. I almost punched you. I almost died. You almost got me. But actually, you made me. Thank you, Felicia. You know when you bump into somebody that didn't believe in you? They say, how you doing? And it's like, I'm successful. How are you? It's that moment of weakness. Now here, get this. The Lord shows up and he's wrestling with Jacob. And then all of a sudden it says, and Jacob, he says to Jacob, let go of me. The script just flipped. The Lord showed up to wrestle him. And now he's saying, let go of me. So at some point, Jacob's like, I'm not giving in. And then he has this breakdown moment. And now he's like, okay, I have to have you. If I gotta have you, if you don't, I can't even walk without you. See, that's a beautiful place when you realize you can't walk without them. That's a beautiful place when you say, Lord, I've tried to walk and run by myself, but every time I run in the wrong direction. See, that's the thing with Jacob, is he always had this tendency to run in the wrong direction, so the Lord touches him so he can't run anymore. The hardest moments of our life are the moments where we get slapped with this insecurity. And it's kind of like you think to yourself, how did that person know I was insecure in that area? How did they know? Nobody knows that except for me. And you just happened to put your finger right on it? How did they know? I'm going to tell you how they know. The little devil came up and said, talk to them about this. And let me tell you. And you're like, oh my, boom. And then you back up and go, God. It's such a great verse. It's in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, where Paul says this, you have apprehended me. You have taken a hold of me. And then he backs up and says, but I want to take hold of you. You've grabbed my heart. Well, guess what? I want to grab your heart. In Psalms 139, verse 1, it says this, oh, Lord, you have searched my heart. You know everything about me. You see me when I sit down. You see me when I stand up. You know my thoughts when they're afar off. You see me when I travel or when I stay at home and rest. You know everything I do. You know every word I'm going to say even before I say it. And so when Paul says, you've apprehended me, in other words, let's just put those scriptures together. You know when I sit down and when I stand up, I want to know when you're standing up. You know my thoughts, I want to know your thoughts. You've apprehended me, but guess what? If you don't, I'm going to, Psalms 5:3, this is such a good verse. You might want to write it down. I'm just telling you, it's probably, Psalms 5:3. Every morning I wake up, I will be back at it again. Laying the pieces of my life on your altar, waiting for the fire to fall. Every morning I wake up, I'm going to take everything that's important to me. Everything, that person I don't want to forgive, that person that I hate, that addiction, that worry, that fear, that addiction. I'm going to take it and I'm just going to hold it before you. Every morning I wake up, I'm going to lay it before you. Now, guess what? This is really cool. When Jacob refused to let go of him, listen to this. If you only pray for something one time, you don't really want it. You don't really want it. Jacob would not let go of the Lord. He would not stop praying and calling out for him. What is it that you want that you refuse to stop praying about? Because if you only pray for it one time, you don't really want it. It's got to have that attitude, Psalms 5:3. Every morning I wake up, I'll be back at it again. You're going to hear me? Every time I wake up, I'm going to be back at it again. And I'm going to wait for your fire to fall. What is it in your life that you're not going to let go of it? If God does not answer you, you're going to bug him for the rest of your life. This isn't something you're letting go of. Are you with me? Say yes. Come on, put your hands together. Why don't you stand up on your feet for me? It was at that very moment of surrender. It was at that moment that the Lord says, I'm going to bless you. It's at that moment. Have you ever been in a wave pool before? There's some kind of like big paddle under the water and it like pushes water to you. Forget that. Have you ever been in the ocean before? These waves are coming to you. And you see this big, huge wave coming, right? Big one. It's rolling over there. It's coming to you. You don't know if it's in 30 seconds, if it's in a minute, if it's in 10 seconds. Like, you can't time waves, but it's coming to you. You know if you stand in that spot, it's coming to you. I'm going to tell you, when you're in that spot of surrender and obedience, I don't know when, but it's coming to you. Because whatever you do in secret will catch up to you. If the Lord feels distant from you, you can trace that back to something you did or didn't do in secret. If you feel close to the Lord, you can trace that back to something you did in secret. What my encouragement to you is from this day forward to find the secret places in your car, in your house, in your office. That's the secret place where the Lord says, here, I will bless you. I'd like for you to hold your hands out like this and look at me for a moment. This belt represents everything that I want to rule. I don't want to give up. I want you to just hold your hands out like this, and I want you to ask the Lord, is there anything in your life that you need to let go now? It's time to let go of that now. It's time to stop doing that now. And I just want you to take a moment and hold it in your hands for him. And now I just want you to tell him what you need. Pray the prayer that is so scary to pray. It's a scary prayer when you don't want to pray it because you don't want to set yourself up for disappointment. That's the prayer. I don't want to ask because if you say no, I'm going to be depressed, so I don't want to ask. That's the prayer that I want you to pray. What do you need? If you're in this room and you know, if your heart were to stop beating in the next 5 minutes, you're not ready to see the Lord in your hands, you need to imagine your life. Just say, I surrender to you, Lord. From this moment forward, I will worship you and serve you. And when you stumble, I want you to prove your devotion just like I have to. Stand up. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm still your servant. I just stumbled. Holy Spirit, just begin to rest on every person here. Rest on every person here. I'd like the worship team to come on up, please. There's going to be no official dismissal. You can leave whenever you get ready. But it's this moment right here is why you came to church. I'm going to ask that before anybody leaves, I know this is a good time to beat the traffic and all that stuff, but before anyone leaves, let's just sing this song one or two times through before anyone goes. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May His face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May His countenance be lifted up on you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.